normally we charge, but we're giving it away for free because we love you guys. So that's our thing today. So we're excited about that. But yes, my name is Misty. And if you could throw our picture up there, babe. These are my people. These are my people. That is my husband, handsome husband back there, amazing dude. He has sacrificed for this conference. When I say yes to something, he knows that also means he's going to have to sacrifice. And he did it so willingly, and I'm so grateful for you. And then right there in the middle is my little Mimi Bear. She is right over here, beautiful little girl. She is, you know what's so great about being a parent? I think this is the greatest part about being a parent. Watching your kids develop a relationship with the Lord on their own. It is the coolest thing. Even little things that they do, you're like, yes, you know Jesus. You know what I mean? It's so beautiful. So I love watching them develop and grow into this person. And then the very little one right there, our little cherry on top, that's Lexi. She's a redhead. She's going to run something one day. I have no idea what. She's definitely going to do that. But I get to spend my days teaching and training people how to transition from unhealthy practices to healthy practices. In a nutshell, that's what I do. I do that all day long. And so that's why I feel like this session, we needed to have a real practical foundation. A lot of times we leave a conference and we feel so charged spiritually, we can run at a brick wall, we're so emotionally high and ready, and the first time we get hit with the enemy, we crumble. And so today, what I asked the Lord for when I prayed about this session is, Lord, can I give them something practical that they can walk away with? Practical. So we're going to give you the spiritual, definitely. Pastor Richie and Pastor Patty, they're the heavies. But I'm going to give you the spiritual on, I mean the practical on it, because that's where I live. I love that. That's who I am. So I'm hoping today that you walk away with something tangible in your hand that you can apply today. But let me give you a little bit about my testimony. I grew up in a little bit of an interesting home, I would say. I was raised by my mama and my grandparents, my Nana. My Nana's here somewhere. And I loved my upbringing. I loved it. I loved my childhood. We went without, but I didn't know we didn't have it. And I was happy. We were happy kids. But something happened. Something happened to me. When I was young, I started to learn real hard lessons on failure. Failure. And what I heard the message over and over and over and over and over again in my mind was, you're a failure. You're a failure. Over and over and over again. I heard this in my mind. When I was in kindergarten, they told my mom she can't read, she needs to be held back. And so my mom at 5 years old has to tell this child, hey, listen, other people don't think you can move on. And what I heard was, I'm a failure. At five, that's young. And then as I grew, you know, relationships, you go through relationship failures, and especially when you're a teenager and you got all those emo things going on, you know, failure after failure with that. In school, everything was a struggle. Everything was a struggle. I had dyslexia, so everything was a little bit of a struggle in school. I'm not a school person. I didn't love it. But every time I failed a test or every time I tried, studied really, really hard and I got a C or I got a D, it was like, you're a failure. You're never going to be enough. You're never going to amount to more than that. And then I graduated high school by the skin of my teeth. I don't even know how I did it. I graduated high school, and then I went on to what I was going to do is nursing school. So I went on. I got my CNA. I studied. I did okay in the class, but I failed my state boards the first time. And the message was, you're a failure. You're a failure. And so it just pummeled me all the time. With everything that I did, that message of, you're never going to amount to anything. You're not going to be enough. You're never enough. I failed my first try at my nursing semester one. I failed my final for that. I had to retake that. And then when I was in nursing school, a neighbor called me over. His son called me over, and he said, my dad's sick. He can't feel the right side of his body. Can you come over? I was in nursing school. Mom, you'll remember this. And I went over, and I did not recognize the signs of a stroke. And I'm a nursing student. And as a result of that, he suffered irreparable damage. And every time I watched him walk up and down my neighborhood, it reminded me, you're a failure. And so as a result of that, I quit nursing school. Because the message played over and over and over again in my mind of, you're gonna kill someone. You're such a failure, you're gonna kill someone. And so that was my message growing up. That is what I dealt with. And so the things that you hear over and over and over and over and over again in your mind, I want you to look at me. I don't care if you're a male or a female in this room. I want you to look at me right now. There were seeds deposited in you as a child. And that is not who you are. That is not who you are. That is not what God has called you to. And they were not your fault. And there is no shame in what you've carried. And there is no shame in the way that you've carried it. And I love what Malia said last night, that Maya Angelou quote that says, do the best that you can until you know better. And then when you know better, do better. Listen, that comes from a biblical principle. Proverbs is littered with that principle. And I want us today to take something so practical because we've bore fruit out of a seed that was deposited inside of us that's not your fault. And sometimes we react and respond to things and then we're mad at ourselves. Man, dang it, why did I act like that? But today we're gonna do better because we're gonna know better, we're gonna learn better, and we're gonna do better. You get a do-over starting today. That's what this whole conference is about, a big fat do-over in life. I get a fresh start today, and that's what we're gonna do. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your anointing in this room. God, I thank you that you're gonna quench every fear. I thank you that you're gonna quench every heart that's fearful right now, God. I feel a spirit of fear. We come against it right now in Jesus' name. I thank you that from this moment forward, we're going to walk forth in joy. We're going to be at peace. I thank you that you're going to equip us and arm us with strategies and tools so that we can be everything that you've called us to be. Everything that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about my testimony and my story real fast. I know you're like, what the heck was that? But just give me a second. So all of that led up to this moment right here. 2013, okay, so I kind of lived a mediocre life, right, based on all my failures. I lived a mediocre life. I'm not trying for anything. I'm not excelling. I'm not doing anything great. I'm just going to be a wallflower. I'm going to blend in the back. That's just what I'm going to do. I'm not going to try for anything, right? Okay, so this is kind of how I live my life. Until 2013, I have Lexi, okay? My body did not bounce back like I wanted it to. What does that even mean? But it didn't bounce back like I wanted it to. So my brother, who was a CrossFit instructor at the time and in the fire academy, he just got out of the military. And he was like, Mist, I want you to do CrossFit. And I'm like, you're dumb. I'm not doing that. And he was like, no, I'm telling you, you'll love it. This is what's funny to me. How does someone who's a failure their whole life, but somebody else sees something inside of them, and says, hey, I think you will love this. In my mind, I'm like, you don't know me. He's my brother. He knows me. You know what I mean? So anyway, challenge accepted, okay? So it's 2013. I had Lexi. I'm like, okay, I will try it. And he said, okay, this is the deal. If you try it, you have to give it 30 days. You cannot quit. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult, but you cannot quit. If you don't know anything about CrossFit, it's 1 hour of hell. For real. You can ask Toby. Toby, raise your hand. She will tell you. It is an hour of hell. It is like military-style fitness mixed with Olympic weightlifting. It's really, I don't even know how to explain it. It's hell. Anyway, so I accept this challenge. I accept the 30-day full challenge, okay? Day one comes. I don't know what I'm to expect, really. I go there, and it's like a baby workout. And I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And the whole time I'm doing it, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. You don't have enough. you can't do this, you're not strong enough, look at all those people, look what they're doing, look what you're not doing. The whole time, I'm talking to myself. The whole time. And then I go home, I wake up the next morning, and I'm so sore, I feel like a truck hit me. I've never been this sore in my life. Never been this sore in my life. And I've had two children, and I've never been this sore in my life. And I'm like, what could be worse than this? I just signed up for 30 days of literally running in front of a truck. Like, what did I do? So literally, you can ask Richie the truth of this. I would be like, babe, bring me Lexi. And I would just roll over. Like, I couldn't even hold her to nurse her. It was so terrible. So I go ahead and do this, okay? So the first week, Sean, I'm quitting after this. I'm literally after the 30 days. I'm not doing this anymore. This is ridiculous. I don't know why people do this. It's so stupid. And I hate you. And, you know, all these things. So the first week was hell, right? Second week comes. I'm not as sore, but I'm still pretty mentally mad. Real mad. I'm mad at myself because I'm like, you knew it. You knew it and you did it anyway. You're so dumb. You know how we do. So the whole time, the second week is terrible. The third week, something weird happened. I started to learn the language, and I started to not feel like such an awkward outcast. And then by the week four, I don't know what they put in the water, but by week four, I was like, I actually love this. And it's 21 days to develop a habit. But I think it takes a full 30 days for you to really love something and start to switch something in your brain. And that's what happened. And my brother knew it, and he was so smart in doing that. And that's what my prayer is for us today, that we can take some stuff and we can really apply it to our life, and that from this moment on, we don't use it as an excuse why we can't do something, but we use it as an excuse why we can. And then what happened as a result of me saying yes to that, a couple months later, I took my CrossFit boards, and guess what I did? Failed them. You thought it was spiritual, but no. No, I failed them. I failed them first time around, but I was like, you know what? I'm doing it again. I'm taking them again. So 5 months later, I took them, and I passed them. And then, thank you. And then as a result of that, I decided I'm going to go back to school. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, I need you to go back to school. Stop using it as an excuse why you can't do what I've called you to do. So I was like, I'll go, but I'm only doing two classes a semester. Okay. I'm not a school person. You guys know I'm going to, but this is what I told myself this time. I'm not failing one class because I'm not walking through that anymore. At this point in time, let me tell you what happened. 5 years later, it's going to be 5 years to graduate with my bachelor's degree. 5 years. And I already had an associate, so that will tell you something. So 5 years to graduate with my bachelor's degree. But this is what happened. It had to start all of that. I never failed a class in college, not one. But it had to start with me saying yes to something that really sucked. Really sucked. And for some of us today, we're going to have to start in the place where we do not want to start. You're going to have to go back to a place probably that you don't want to go. And it's hard. And nobody wants to amen that part because it means we got to do work. But unfortunately, you guys are in a church where we do hard things. That's kind of what we say. We have a gym right back out there. So it's just kind of what we do. But I want you guys to do this today. And I want you to start programming your mind, reprogramming your thoughts to the point where you say, if I do something hard long enough, the next challenge doesn't feel like so difficult to say yes to. So that means the Lord might be asking you for something that feels insignificant. You're like, why do you even want that? It's because he's laying a framework. Laying a framework. Because the next challenge that he asks you to give up is going to be a little bigger. And then it'll be a little bigger. And then it'll be a little bigger until one day he says to you, hey, I need you to plan a church. And you're like, no. I'm a failure. That's not what I do. And the Lord said, no, that is not your nature anymore. You are not a failure. That's not your nature anymore. And so that's what we're going to do today. The theme for this weekend, sorry, I got a little ahead of myself. The theme for this weekend is Proverbs 31:29. And it says this, many women have done excellent things, but you surpass them all. You surpass them all. In the original Hebrew, I love that Pastor Patty brought this up last night. In the original Hebrew, in the Strong's, it means this, to go up, to ascend, or to climb. To go up, to ascend, to climb. The Proverbs 31 woman doesn't seem like she's a very lay-back and just somebody feed me grapes kind of person when we read it in this context. It seems like a person who's putting in work. It seems like a person who's doing something. She's activating her faith. I think a Proverbs 31 woman and a woman that surpasses is a woman that's learned self-discipline and self-control. When everybody else is doing this, I'm staying the course. When everybody else is walking this way, my Jesus is telling me to go this way. So this way I'm going to go. So that's what it means to surpass. It's not surpass because you're beautiful. It's not surpass because you have all this knowledge. It's surpass because she's dirty. She's gritty. She's getting into it. She's willing to fight for it. I see it. I want it. I'm going after it. If the Lord's given me permission to go after it, I'm running after it. And that's what it means to surpass. That's what we're going to do here today. We're going to learn what it means to harness our emotions, because sometimes we can get a little wild in our emotions. We're going to harness those emotions, and we're going to go after God. All right, Galatians 5, 16 through 26. It says this, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For they are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality. Pastor Patty talked about this last night. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalry, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. Everybody say, crucify the flesh. With its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, then let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another. The very first thing that we have to do is we have to submit everything to the Lord. Everything. We try to do too much stuff in our own flesh. We understand there's something going on inside of us. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. We recognize it. But what we do is we get a book for 10 ways to do this, or 7 ways to do that, or, 26 ways to happiness. We talk to this person or talk to that person. And here's the problem. Your fruit that you want to bear is found only in the Word of God. So if you want to, what I encourage you to do, if you really want to grow in your relationship with the Lord, wake up a few minutes early and sit with Him. Just sit in His presence. I promise you, Sunday morning will stop being therapy for you, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday will become therapy for you. Because you'll be sitting in the presence of the one who can change your thoughts. He can change the very nature of what was deposited inside of you. And the Lord, in the moment you read the word in the morning in your quiet time with Him, and He says, hey, you see that verse right there? We got to deal with something inside that's not bearing my name. It's bearing the name of somebody else, but it's not my name. So we got to pull it up. We got to deal with it. We got to expose it. And that's what He's doing. When we do this, when we try to do it in our own flesh, it's like taking a Band-Aid and putting it over the mouth of a demon that's been talking to you your whole life. talking to you your whole life. It's not your fault. But remember, we recognize now, I know better, so I'm going to do better. I know better, so now I'm going to do it better. Step number two. This is the hardest for me. Step number two is prepare your mind for a battle. Here's a tagline: resistance yields results. Resistance yields results. The results that you want are going to come when you nail that flesh to the cross. Nail it to the cross. Paul said this: the spirit and the flesh are at constant war with each other. That means they are constantly going to be battling one another, constantly at war, constantly. And don't think for one second that your flesh isn't going to pitch a fit when you make a decision that I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not eating that. I'm not acting that way. I'm not having sex with that person anymore. I'm not behaving in that way. I'm not hitting the club anymore. I'm not doing anything. Your flesh is going to pitch a fit. Pitch a fit. Let me give you a visual for this. When we tell a drug addict, you can no longer have that drug, what happens? They go nuts. They go nuts. You know why? Let me tell you what happens in the brain. Your brain will tell you, if you don't get that, you're going to die. If you don't think that the enemy has been telling us lies, hey, if you don't do that, you're not going to have any friends. Hey, if you step out in faith, you're going to fail. Hey, if you do this, then that's going to happen. But what we do is we acquiesce to it. Oh, just take it. That's who I am. In this area, I never have control. When I say self-control, the enemy will immediately say, yeah, self-control, except for there. Yeah, you have self-control. Oh, yeah, you can, oh, yeah, you can pray with the best of them, but not there. And that's a lie. Your nature, when you have accepted Christ, your nature is changed. That means we don't walk by the patterns of the flesh. We walk by the Spirit. That means my flesh is crying out for that right now, but my spirit man is saying, don't do it. Don't you dare give in to it. Don't you dare give in to the patterns of the flesh. And that's the battle that we feel. But instead of saying, that's it, I'm putting my foot in the ground, I'm not doing it anymore, what we do is we say, that's who I am, just this once. That's who I am. That's not who you are. I'm here to tell you right now, that's not who you are. That God has called you to greater. And the Bible does say faith that works is dead. So we're going to have to make a determination that I am not, draw that line in the sand, that I am not behaving in that way anymore. For some of us, you're going to have a talk to yourself. You're going to have to sit yourself down, and you're going to have to be like, hey, listen, we're going to do some stuff today, and it's going to suck, but we're going to do it. Listen, every day, you can ask Mom. Mom and I would get anxiety so bad before we would go to the gym. I'd be like, Mom, it's 10 o'clock at night. Mom, did you see the workout for tomorrow? She'd be like, yeah, I saw it. I want to throw up. I'm like, yeah, I want to have diarrhea already. I'm like, I don't know what to do. But you know what? When you train your mind to do something that you absolutely do not want to do, that it gets easier and easier and easier to say yes. It gets easier and easier to say yes. The third thing is this: be consistent. Be consistent. Because what happens is when we're not consistent, we tell ourselves, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And what happens is our outward perception doesn't match our inward confession. So we got to have our spirit and our flesh need to be aligned. So consistency is what brings that about. So the more consistent that I am, the more consistent that I will be. Do you see the pattern here? This message. Just go read Proverbs. When he talks about daily, Paul talks about daily, I crucify my flesh. That's what he's talking about. In my mind, when I read that, I'm like, Paul worked out. I know it. I know it. I know he worked out. The last thing is this: empower others. Can you guys throw my visual up there for the weekend? I don't know if you guys saw this, not the QR code, the visual. Oh, Okay, they don't have the visual. Okay, that's okay. No, not that visual. Trying to sneak in there. The visual for the weekend was, babe, you could throw the QR code on there. I don't know if you can see, but this visual is the visual for the weekend. And it's women who are muddy and dirty, and they're pulling another woman up. And that's what it looks like to empower others. Where is my Nana? Nana, can you stand up? This woman, I don't want to cry. This woman, 83 years old, bless her ever-loving soul. How many of you are in this room today because of this woman? This woman, right here, taught my mama what it looked like to pull women up, to pull people up. My entire life, all I did was watch them take people who were throwaways and that nobody wanted and pull them up. My whole life, that's what I saw. So it's no surprise to me when the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to pull women. I want you to pull them from filth. I want you to pull them from the mental prison that they put themselves in. I want you to do that this weekend. That's what this whole weekend is about. And you know, it's funny because I made this little cute little image for the weekend. I sent it to Genesis and Mom, and they both were like, false. That's not going to work. We need to empower. I'm like, you're right. We need to empower. That is what we need to do. And so that is our visual for the weekend. That visual of women empowering other women. And when you have fought hard, when you've been consistent, and when you've done what God has asked you to do over and over and over again, you are qualified to pull women from a position that they are lower, that they feel like they're lower, that they feel like they don't have enough, that they feel like they're not enough. And you are qualified to speak into that situation and say, you know what? God did it for me. He can do it for you. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. And that's what it's about. That is what it looks like when we empower other women. So let me just give you a synopsis. We're going to submit everything that we do to the Lord. Everything that we do, we have to submit it to the Lord. Number two, we're going to prepare our mind for battle. Prepare. Your flesh is going to pitch a fit. When you leave here, your flesh is going to pitch a fit. I don't want to go to church tomorrow. Go to bed. Get up. Set your alarm 5 minutes early. Go to church. Be with Jesus. Monday through Sunday, be with Jesus. Not just when it feels good. Number three, be consistent. Consistently walk it out every single day. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it anyway because I'm reversing patterns. Pleasure pathways that you've established in your brains. I see it. I want it. I get it. I see it. I want it. I get it. We have to reverse those. We have to break them. And consistently walking away from that is how we do that. So we're going to be consistent. And the last thing that we're going to do is we're going to empower other women. We're going to empower other people, other believers. If you're a mom, your greatest gift is your kids. It's your greatest gift because they're in your home all day long. Empower them. Give them the tools to walk out their salvation. It might look a little different than yours, but that's okay. Give them the tools. Trust your obedience to God's outcome. Trust your obedience to God's outcome. Just give it to them. They're his kids anyway. And he loves them more than you do. You might control them, but he loves them more than you do. So there's some stuff we're going to have to do. The last thing that I want to just explain before I get the heck out of here is you have Post-its on your table. And what I would like for you to do is the area of your life where you feel like I have self-control, except for in this area where the enemy came at you, what I want you to do is I want you to write that on your Post-it. And when you're ready, you don't have to do it now. We're not going to do it now, but sometime today, what we're going to do is we're going to nail those things to the bottom of the cross. And that every single time the enemy comes at you and says, oh, you don't have self-control there, you're going to say, no, I do, actually, because it's nailed to the bottom of the cross. And that's where it stays. So, oh, you have self-control, but not in your eating. False, because that's not my nature anymore. I'm not doing that. It's nailed to the cross. You have self-control, but not in the area of sexual purity. No, I do have purity, and I am pure, because the blood of Jesus made me pure, and that's been nailed to the cross. So that's what we're going to do. You don't have to do it now, but we are going to do that sometime today. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for giving us your wisdom, God, your discernment, your understanding. Lord, I thank you that those seeds that were deposited in us as children, whatever they are, Lord, I thank you that new roots, new seeds are going to be deposited today, and they're going to push out any root that does not bear your name. And I thank you that from this day forward, we're drawing a line in the sand, that the enemy will not have an occasion. We're going to take every thought captive according to the obedience of Christ. And we're going to submit our failures, our insignificance. We're nailing all of that to the cross. And we're walking out of this room today, daughters of the King. I thank you that we are image bearers of your name. And that we're going to live in such a way that we bear your image. And that as a result of that, we're going to pull other people from the pit. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I failed. Okay, so on your table, after every talk, on your table, you guys have little tiny giveaways, little tiny things that we did. And so this one today is a resistance band. And it has the scripture for today on there. Last night you got feathers, and those feathers represented the Holy Spirit. And so today, Pastor Richie's going to get up here in a minute. He's going to talk. And then you guys have stones for those. So I don't want to be remiss in doing that. But guess what? Your QR code is going up there. Put that QR code up there, baby. There's your visual. But Pastor Richie's going to put your QR code up there. Right there. Take your phone. Take a picture of it. You guys have access to that those workouts. It's just a fun fitness challenge. Nothing crazy. We're not being nuts. It's not. You can literally do it 5 minutes in your room. Yeah, you guys can get up. Feel free. Get up. Stand up. Let's do that right now. Let's stand up. Let's move around. Let's move around the room. Take a picture. If you want, you can nail yourself to the cross.